We talk about this all the time in the streets. America does not fear God. Jesus told us to fear the one who can destroy our body and soul in hell. Americans have no fear of God. Americans believe that God is some old man in a cloud that overlooks their sin, looks past their sin. He loves everybody. Jesus died to make a way through all everybody's sin. That's absolutely not true if you don't repent. If you live in your sin, you have no hope of eternal life to come. You must repent and come out of sin. Hebrews 10:26 tells us there's no sacrifice for people that live in sin. So it's loving to come and tell our neighbors about that. It's loving to warn you that God is going to judge all sin. And if it's not washed away by the blood of Christ, because you're a born-again, repentant child of God, and you're seeking the kingdom in spirit and truth, unless that happens, unless you have fruit, John 15, Jesus said, you must have much fruit. You'll bear much fruit. If not, you'll be cut off, pruned, and thrown in the fire. That's a archetype of hell. And so consider that, fearing God. I do it all the time. I preach it and ask people, do you fear God? They don't fear God. Very few people fear God. Satan has convinced everyone that fear of God is a wrong way, that loving this false God they've created is the way. You cannot follow a false Savior. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the Spirit. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way, neighbor. Don't squander the chance to know Christ. Don't trample His blood. Don't live after the pattern of your own way. Open the Holy Scriptures, read in the Gospel, see who Jesus Christ is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See what a glorious Savior He is. Then make up your mind. He's either Lord, lunatic, or liar. Which one? Lord, lunatic, or liar? If He's a lunatic and a liar, we're wasting our lives. No one's ever proved He is. The Word of God stands true. The most documented, accurate book in all of human antiquity. He is Lord. He's coming back in flaming fire. He's going to judge. There's going to be a judgment day, and there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. You are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're invited. You can come, but you must lose your life. Your life must have on a wedding garment, which means you're prepared. Like the 10 virgins, 5 were not prepared, and they were sent away. They missed the bridegroom's coming. We don't want you to miss the bridegroom's coming. We want you to be ready. Putting oil in your lamp. What does that mean? Reading the Word, studying the Word, obeying the Word, preaching the Word, sharing the Word, defending the Word, exposing false ways, walking in holiness, coming out of the culture, coming out of church false ways, which are all of them, coming out of the sports, the politics, the entertainment, your flesh, your pride, your vanity that God hates. Proverbs 6:17. God hates a proud look. That's how you put oil in your lamp. And so we encourage you to work on putting oil in your lamp to seek after Christ in spirit and truth. It's loving to come and lift Him up. It's loving to shine the light of Christ in this dark culture. The darker the culture, the brighter Christ's light. And the more hatred as well. People hate the truth of God, but the truth of God must be told. Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman on the wall. If he doesn't warn his neighbors, if he doesn't sound the alarm, those people's blood will be upon his hands. But if we sound the warning, and if we tell them, to turn and repent and seek the kingdom of God. And if we tell them to come out of the false churches and the culture, and if we tell them about God's goodness and the severity and the judgment that's coming, then their blood will not be upon our hands, the word says. We don't want blood on our hands, neighbor. We want you to know the truth that God is angry with the sinner. That Psalm 11:5, he hates those that love violence. Psalm 5:5, he hates those that work iniquity, that sin. God hates workers of sin. How do you get the love of God? God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he sent Christ. Yeah. It's a past tense love done one time, still accessible today by his Son who rose again and shed his blood. We just had the Lord's Supper last night with our body of believers. A beautiful thing. The bread represents the broken body. The wine represents the shed blood and the covenant that we now walk in. He did his part perfectly. He will help his people. He will work with his people. Philippians 1:6, he began a good work in you. And then we walk after his ways. And he helps us, but we have a part to do. To walk in his ways and keep his commandments. And to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the great commandment. Ponder that today, neighbors. What are you seeking? What are you living for? Have you tested this life to find that which is good, pure, and true? Don't be swept away by Satan's lies that you can believe what you want. Don't be swept away by the culture's lies that says, oh, the priests and the pastors are all telling you truth. They're actually not telling you truth. They're interested in filling up buildings and making money. They're not telling you the truth. If they did, they wouldn't fill up buildings. We don't want to worry about filling up buildings. We just want to consider maybe, having a few more souls in heaven because of the labors God's had us do, and then he calls them to repentance and adds them to the body. We don't add anyone to the body of Christ. We don't win anyone. We may gain them. Paul talks about gaining them. He does talk about gaining the naysayers, and we try to do that till someone becomes a mocker. But if they trample the blood of Jesus and the word of God, why would they listen to my mere words, even when I try to proclaim those words? So don't let mockers overtake you. Don't let them stand in front of you and say their words. If they won't leave, turn and walk away. Rebuke them. Tell them that judgment's coming. Tell them that Christ paid the price if they'll turn and repent and cry out and seek forgiveness in a contrite heart and poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit today, neighbors? Or are you rich in the flesh and the ways of the world? Ponder that today.